Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
What to watch
on Point of View.
Leroy Mark is here. So you can obviously hear when Leroy arrives, you know, all decorum goes out the window.
Oh, yes.
Especially because this is our last one.
It is.
And we're really looking forward to your selection. I haven't even had a chance to look at what you had to offer because it's been hectic. But we trust you. Listen, I've got to tell you, you know, in fact, somebody was making the point just the other day. Oh, how we have grown.
We have. We have.
We have grown.
You know what it's also been? It now also takes quite a lot for me to like think back of what we've done. So what I do is I look back to all the shows we've done, to all the content we've done, and I now compare what we have now to then.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing.
I'm very proud of what you've produced. No, really, because there are, I would call them those PR media press release films that are easy to grab onto, and because you know producers and marketers make a lot of money and they spend a lot of money. If I've spent I don't know what 50 to 100 million on a film, I'm going to spend a lot of money to push
marketing,
it.
And
so sometimes what people get is the marketing stuff, the stuff that has big budgets and not necessarily good stuff.
And
what I think this, what you've done for us in the past year, there is still good stuff out there. Like there really is still good stuff out there. So if you haven't been seeing good stuff because you've just been fed what's popular, there actually is a wonderful, wonderful content out there. You just have to find it.
You really have to. And I really appreciate that because what I try and do is also look at what the film festivals are doing. So the Toronto Film Festival, Cannes, Venice, because that's where you also find where the stories really come from. Because there, they test out on the audience, right? And it's very hard when you have a contingent of your peers sitting in a room.
Not fans.
You can't market me out as a peer. You know, it's the same way why it's so important when in your industry to be recognized by people in your industry because they know what it takes to get this. So I've had a very, very lovely time this year, and I hope that next year we'll continue to bring you some delicious things.
It's been lovely.
Because, we love doing it. We love doing it for you.
So what do we have, your first offering?
Mufasa. So the story, the age-old story of the Lion King, right? But it seems like the prequel because we get to understand how certain characters have developed and become the characters that we understand. So the story is told through the eyes of Rafiki, who is telling the story to Kiara. Kiara is the granddaughter of Mufasa, the original Lion King. And we tell the story is told about how he became the Lion King, right? Where the story goes that he was actually exiled out. They were stripped away by acts of nature, and he grew up as a bit of a stray, you know, and was taken in by a family where he met this, you know, surrogate brother, as it were, or stepbrother, or, you know, brother by another mother, and he lived in this home. And around the area, there was this tribe that was almost, you know, coming in and commandeering all the other prides in the community and taking over their land. And so when that happened to them, him and this brother of his ran to this place, you know, called Mailailai, and they wanted to set up shop over there, but they had to now fight to get their way in. And you start to see where other characters come up. For instance, the relationship between Mufasa and Siabi, which is his wife, the queen, how that relationship came to be, and also how Scar came to be and who Scar is, because we only know when Scar comes in and tries to get rid of Simba and wants to be king. But it's such a great story. And of course Blue Ivy, Beyonce's daughter. Voices the voice of Nala and Kiara and Beyonce. She did, you know, Oberekile. But
I was like,
her mom voiced Nala. She voiced Kiara. And they people are not very generous about the voice work because they find that the story is a bit one, it's Disney-fied, but two, the voice work wasn't as extravagant because remember the late James Earl Jones refused to be on this production. Mm. And this was before he took ill and passed. But for me, it's interesting that he knew Kutingata in Kazili. So I don't want to be part of this project.
It's a fine one, hey, because as we were saying now, you know, movies want to make lots of money.
Yep.
Then they want to bring in big names, who's got the biggest following, and so on and so on. Sometimes, every now and then, it compromises on the quality of the offering.
People were saying that because of how we do these animations now, where they're so real, these big blockbusters, where they look absolutely amazing and epic from an AI generation point of view, that sometimes the storyline gets kind of lost, you know. And it comes back from the Avatar generation, where Avatar was a movie that really, I mean, it grossed more than Titanic, which was the longest standing grossing movie in history, because it was just so bewildering for us to have the technology on our screens. And people are chasing that new thing. Hore, ours is the best.
The bigger,
AI,
the better, the better.
You know, 500 computers were used to generate this. 50,000 graphic designers. All the numbers are becoming more staggering. But the story itself is actually quite thin, because we learn about what happened to Mufasa. But actually, it's almost like putting a storyline and then making a soapy out of it. So what could have been a very short situation becomes quite protracted. So yeah, unfortunately, but it's coming out.
Did you hear how he just dipped it? Like, yeah. Okay.
Interestingly enough, what we do here is we get the foretelling of what happens a lot by Timon and Pumbaa. So they come in almost to help tie in the story to what you know the story of the Lion King to be.
Okay.
So it helps you to just also bridge the gap between the prequel and this particular to Mufasa and to the Lion King. So yeah. Tomorrow, it comes out in theatres. Okay. Bon appetit.
All right. The Last Showgirl.
So, would you believe Pamela Anderson playing a washed out Broadway star? And she's had a whole thing. Remember we previewed her documentary sort of and her life and almost like her memoir.
I've got one question.
Sorry?
I've got one question.
Okay.
Has she grown as an actress?
No. So she hasn't grown as an actress because the role itself is very similar to what she played.
I'm so sorry. I was just checking.
The story itself also tells you that it didn't need much. Because you know who really does a very good job? Her name escapes me right now, but she did a fantastic job because she comes in as the Razzle Dazzle, right? Mm-hmm. She plays the role of Annette. So Pamela Anderson plays the role of Shelley. Shelley has been in Broadway for 30 years. She's been doing her way.
You would think they would want someone who can act, who's been in Broadway for 30 years.
Because the nuance here is you're playing someone who's was really big in the 80s, and then her show sort of did the thing it had to do, and in her mind she's big. So she's not a superstar in the way that you would think, like a Vegas girl would be, like a Dolly Parton, for instance, where Dolly Parton is an institution, even though years later. She was more like ensemble. She's in the third row at the back. No one really cares who she is, but in her mind, she's really huge.
She's a star.
She's a star. And then she gets told that the show is canceled. But you can see how she's aged, right? Oh. And she's like, oh, what's going on here? And so now she has to go find herself, finding a new job. And her friend, Annette, finds herself being sort of, you know, of the age. They don't know how to age. They don't know how to grow up and leave this idea of show business. But the final scene is the most beautiful thing because you see, without, you know, disturbing and spoiling the story for you, you start to see the big distinction between who she thinks she is and who she really is in real life. And that sadness that comes from realizing that the story and the image was much bigger than it as she was. So, unfortunate.
Okay. Black Doves, it's on Netflix.
Yes, features one of my favorite actresses, Keira Knightley. Think about a English version of sort of James Bond, right? Mm-hmm. So, this is James Bond, but this is a series around this woman who is... got a partner, a lover that she's got while she's covert. So she's undercover as a mom with kids and a husband, and then she has a side dish on the side. Issues happen with the side dish.
Yes.
So she needs to go and avenge the side dish and find out what happens.
Yes.
And so she goes into this black labyrinth where she finds lots of betrayal, lots of backstabbing, and she doesn't know who to trust. And so she and this male partner of hers who helps her find what happens in the six-part 1 hour per episode Netflix series. It's really all about the espionage and the sabotage, and it, but also the acting is great.
Okay, because they
really come to town. There's moments where you there's one particular scene I love where they're having a conversation and we're looking at them through the windscreen of the car.
Yeah.
But the comicalness about it is the chemistry between them. They look in the same direction. You know, and you're sort of watching, like,
you can't fake that.
The only other person who I know who this year has given me a performance I liked as much was Jane Fonda.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Unkazi, you know, because for once she wasn't worried about being pretty, not worrying about being cute. They just came to work and it really felt great. So, Black Doves is on Netflix, it's screening now with 6 episodes. So it is nice and short, you can watch it in an afternoon.
Okay, so Nickel Boys
is interesting because the reason why it's called Nickel Boys is because it revolves around the Nickel Academy. So you have these two boys where they find themselves in the Nickel Academy, right? Which is almost like a juvenile holding area for would-be, you know, troublemaker boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing a storyline of two boys who meet there and form a friendship, but also they start chronicling the things that are happening there. It's based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
Very terrible things happen there. You are detained there, but people sometimes don't make it out. In fact, often people don't make it out.
Yeah.
As we tell the story, we get to a point where they may or may not find themselves being there for too long.
Mm.
They grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bit of a glitch in the matrix because now we find that who we think the older versions are don't necessarily match with who they were in school.
Yes.
And so we now need to figure out why that is so. It's a case of mistaken identity.
Yes.
It's a case of really trying to survive.
Yeah.
But kids who didn't have much themselves, but also they've got a lot of trauma to tell. And now they retell the story years later of what happened in there.
Mm.
But also they're at risk of exposing themselves.
What category would this be?
For me, it's not gory.
Thrillerish.
It's a thriller. It's a suspense thriller.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And when I chose this, I was very aware that I expected it to be. So I was also watching with one eye open, and I sort of watched things when I go, once I see a killing, like Pamela's on, I'm like, she's not gonna like this one at all. But this one, I was surprised because a lot of it revolves around conflict of the person. Do I tell? Do I not tell? Do I tell the truth? How much do I owe the people who've died and I've watched died? How do I deal with the? And also, there's a wonderful character of a grandmother of one of the boys who teaches the boy to have a very deep sense of self, that he is very resilient against authority that's pushing him down. So it's almost like a story of the human spirit,
mm-hmm.
but also seeing which people will do anything to survive,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes even give up their very best friends.
Hmm.
So Nickel Boys, it's in theaters as of the 13th of December.
Now, would this be a brutal movie?
No. So the brutalist refers to the architectural style that the architect does.
Okay.
So it's brutalist because it's very minimalist and very harsh.
Okay.
And I thought that too. But it's a wonderful story about a boy who's leaving post-war Europe to go into America. And he escapes one of the concentration camps during the Holocaust.
Yeah.
But the story is not Holocaust driven.
Okay.
So you find this man who realizes that one of the people who he's employed actually has a very rich history of architecture, and his wife, who's Oxford educated, also has a wonderful talent for architecture.
Mm.
They go to America to go build a life for themselves. Eventually, he's able to fetch his sister, his niece, and the wife to come to America. But you start seeing this very interesting interweaving of talent and hope coming from moving from a place of darkness being the Holocaust and coming to America, a land of the free and the brave and Trump. But what I loved about this is that this movie is 3 hours and 35 minutes long.
Wow.
You do not watch this in one go. There's an intermission in between that you get. The first 100 minutes really deal with this moving from one place to another. And the second is where you start seeing the interplay between the characters. But can I tell you, it doesn't feel that long.
Okay.
You feel it's long. You know it. Okay, I've been sitting for a while now, but you're not bored because they do a very... And the director, Mr. Corbet, he is an actor first before he's a director.
Okay.
And he's got a nod for a potential Oscar next year.
Oh, wow.
So it's, you have to watch it. And in December, watch it in three parts.
Okay. We just told now that we've got a wrap. Can you do it in a minute?
I can do it in a minute. Okay. Disney Magic Box is coming to the TRC in Monte Cassino as from now to the 5th of June. Musical, you get to see the puppeteers playing with
the lovely characters.
And you also get to see your favorite characters activating. You'll see what that means when you go.
Leroy, it's been so wonderful.
It's so great.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure having you. You've been such a gift. We love your films. They've been just wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to next
Merry,
year.
Merry, merry, happy, happy.
Happy, happy.
See you next year.
Cheers.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.